So here we are, the Father Heart TV webcast on the 5th of October 2016, and it's Mark Jide speaking on The Main Thing. Many of you who have been on the webcast for a number of years or even a few months will probably have heard Barry say, the main thing is the main thing. And it's just a little quote he has. And I was just thinking about that the other day, thinking, yeah, it's just would be good to have a reminder on what the main thing is. And, you know, bringing it back into our focus so we can keep the main thing, the main thing. Because the busyness of life and everything that's going on, it's very easy for that to slip. And, you know, we lose sight of what the main thing is and, you know, what our hearts can be living towards. And we get bogged down with the stuff of daily life and everything. And I just quite like that little saying that Barry has of keeping the main thing, the main thing. You know, making the most important thing, the most important thing. You know, keeping the main focus, the main focus. And of course, for us, that's living in the Father's love. That's being loved. That's knowing that we are living in the centre of his affection for us. And, you know, keeping the eyes of our heart focused on that. We talk a lot about the heart and the eyes of the heart being opened. And it's one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians is that, you know, he prays for us that the eyes of our heart would be opened. And the clear implication of that is that the eyes of our heart are closed. And he wants them to be opened in order that we can see something that we're prevented from seeing at the moment. And, you know, what that is, I believe, it's that we can see and focus on our true calling and our true destiny and our true identity, that we can really see who we are and we can really see who our Father is. And so really all I want to do very simply this evening is just focus again on the main thing. Look again at what's the important focus of our lives. And just as I'm speaking, just ask Father to again open the eyes of your heart so that these things that are often hidden, we can begin to see. These things that we often lose sight of can be brought back into focus. The other day, I lent my camera to somebody. I was at my daughter's wedding, obviously. And I wanted some photographs taken, but I couldn't take the photographs myself because I was walking my daughter down the aisle, which was a wonderful occasion. So I wanted someone else to take some photographs, and I gave them my camera. And when they gave it me back, I was looking through the viewfinder, and looking through the viewfinder, everything was blurred. And I thought, why is that? And what had happened was that the person I'd lent my camera to had changed the little focus of the viewfinder, because I've got it set for my eyesight, and he'd set it back to a sort of neutral position. So when I looked at it again, I you know, things weren't sharp and weren't in focus, and I just had to change the settings of that again to bring it back to how I like it. But it just, you know, it just reminded me when I was doing that. You know, how easy it is for the things we look at, you know, to go out of focus. You know, how what we look at with the eyes of our heart, it can become dull, and we can instead of seeing with the eyes of our heart clearly, we see sort of dimly, or things appear out of focus. And really what I want to do this evening is just to focus again on what I think is the main thing of living in love and being loved, and hopefully that we can sharpen the focus of the eyes of our heart, so together we can see more clearly, you know, who we are, and see more clearly this amazing love which the Father is continually pouring into our hearts. And what I just want to do is I just pulled out a few verses of scripture which I've paraphrased on the slides, and just want to sort of talk us through those this evening. And just as I speak, just let Father bring a sharp focus to the eyes of your heart, to the ears of your heart, so that we can see and hear clearly, or see and hear more clearer than perhaps we did before. So keeping the main thing, the main thing. You know, God has always been your Father. God has always been my Father. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says he is the everlasting Father. And that's really, really encouraging for us. You know, that means that for all of eternity before Genesis chapter 1, God was Father. And all of eternity beyond the end of Revelation, God is still Father. And the amazing thing is, right in the middle where we are, he still is Father. You know, he never changed. He never changes. You know, yesterday, today, and forever, he's always the same. And I think sometimes we think, well, is he really my Father? Or he becomes our Father when we become born again. Or he becomes our Father when we go on an A school or a B school, or we watch the Father Heart TV website. You know, none of those are true. He's always been our Father. He was our Father even before we knew him. And, you know, when we're born again, when we take that step of acknowledging the work of Jesus on the cross, what we are doing is we are appropriating that salvation into our hearts. We are receiving that gift of grace that enables us to come back into relationship with him. You know, and it's like he doesn't stop. He didn't stop being Father in Genesis chapter 3 and picks it up again at some other point in time. You know, Isaiah tells us that he is the eternal Father. And that means that for the whole of time, for the whole of eternity, he is Father. And that's his personality. That's his nature. That's his character. That's who he is. And, you know, I just want us to focus back in on that again so we can look with the eyes of our heart and see that the God of the universe is our Father. He is my Father. He is your Father. He's always been Father. And, you know, nothing we ever do stops him being Father. He is not fazed by us at all. He's not put off by us at all. He's not put off by the things we do wrong. He always has a Father's heart towards us. And there's nothing we can do to change that one iota. You know, God has always been Father and he always will be Father. And because his character and personality is unchanging, that gives us the security of always being able to come to him as his children, always being able to come to him knowing who he is and not having that insecurity of who are we coming to, what's he like today. But we have that guarantee that whenever we come to him, he is our Father, because that's who he is. And you know, he loves it when we call him Father. See, Jeremiah 3:19 says, how gladly would I treat you like my sons, how gladly would I give you the best inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn from following me. And that really is the cry of God's heart. He is Father and he wants us to call him Father. And you know, he loves it when we come to him and say, oh God, you really are my dad. You really are my Father. See, He at the beginning of Jeremiah 3, verse 19, he promises us this inheritance, this best inheritance of any nation. You know, he's got good things that he wants to give us. But a father does not give his inheritance to slaves or servants. A father gives his inheritance to his sons, to his daughters. And yet here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, God is saying, I thought you would call me Father because that's who I am. And when you live as sons and daughters, you can step into your inheritance and you can step into the blessing that I want to give you. See, when we live as sons, when we live as slaves or orphans, we cannot receive our inheritance. And that was the problem the older brother had in Luke chapter 15. At the beginning of the story, the father gave his estate to the two sons. So the older son would have received his share of the inheritance. The older son received it just in the same way as the younger one did. But at the end of the story, the older son comes back to the father and says, you've never given me anything. You know, I've worked hard for you, I've slaved for you, I've done the right thing, and you've never given me anything. Which is really, really sad, because the father had given him everything. In fact, the father says, son, all that I have is yours, and you are always with me. See, he'd received his inheritance, but he couldn't receive it. He'd been given it, but he couldn't receive it, he couldn't live in it, because he didn't know that this man was his father. He treated him like a master. And as we focus back in on the main thing and keeping the main thing the main thing, you know, God our Father loves it when we come to him and call him Father, because that's who he is. I've already mentioned this a little bit, but he's loving us with an everlasting love. Because he is the eternal Father, because he's always been Father and always will be Father, his love for us, because he is love, that's an everlasting, eternal love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from far away and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. You see, it's God's love for us that causes him to be faithful to us, which is so encouraging, because that means that he will never let us down. Whatever we do, his love ensures his faithfulness to us. You know, we're very fickle in our human nature, aren't we? You know, our relationships with other people go up and down depending on how we feel, depending on what they've done or whatever. But God's love for us never changes. God's faithfulness towards us never changes, simply because he is love. And that love is from everlasting to everlasting. And, you know, that's just so good for us to hear again, because we can never step outside of his love, because his love is always there for us. You know, it will never let us go or never let us down. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You know, and again, it's good for us to hear those words again, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. You know, his love for us is constant all the time, there for us. And, you know, I guess many of you who are watching the webcast this evening, many of you will have been let down on different occasions. Many of you will have been let down by different people. Many of you know what it is to be abandoned and to have that pain that comes from that, and that brokenness. And it's like, it really is like a feeling of a broken heart. And, you know, many of us will be able to identify with that. But his love never lets you go. His love never lets you down. His love never forsakes you. He is always, always there for you. And, you know, he will never cause our hearts to be broken. And when people let us down, when circumstances go against us, when we feel like we've been abandoned, the safe place for us is to run back into our Father's arms is to run back to that place where once again we can experience his love, because his love never lets us go, it never lets us down, it never forsakes us, it never abandons us. It always holds us in that place of safety and security. And I just encourage you this evening that if you're feeling let down in any way, then run into the arms of your Father, because his love is constant, is perfect, and never lets us go. And as we run into that love, it's like we run back into the comfort and the nurture that comes from that. And, you know, I just, you know, again, as we're focusing on these things, let's just focus once again on his steadfast, everlasting love that never fails us, never lets us down. He is always kind and patient. 1 Corinthians 13, a very well-known passage, you know, love is patient. And that is so encouraging for us, because sometimes, you know, we go around the houses, or sometimes we don't quite get things right the first time. And, you know what it's like, those of you who are parents, when you see your little children trying to do something. You know, I remember teaching my children how to ride a bicycle. And you need endless patience for that. You need a strong back for that as well. But you need the endless patience as they go up and down the road and they wobble and they fall off and you catch them and you put them on and you say, let's have another go. And, you know, and you maybe even when you're teaching them to walk or something, or even when they grow up a bit and you're teaching them to drive a car, you know, you need endless patience with them. And it's the same with our Father. You know, we're just little kids and we have a Father who is endlessly patient with us because he loves us, because his kindness is always there for us. You know, he doesn't look at us and write us off because we haven't got it sorted or we haven't got it right. But, you know, he picks us up and says, have another go, give it another go. You know, you know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? It's patience. And I guess if we're honest, it's probably one of the fruits of the Spirit we all know we need more. But this is just so much what our Father is like. He is perfect and complete in his kindness and in his patience for us. And as we run back into those arms of love, it's, you know, we go there with a guarantee that he is just so accepting and so open and ready to welcome us and receive us again. You know, I don't think he knows what impatience is. Well, he doesn't know what impatience is, because he is perfectly and completely patient with you and me all of the time. And I find that very, very encouraging, just to know that, you know, it's not three shots and you're out, but it's coming back all the time and allowing that love to keep soaking into our hearts. And another good thing is he loves us when we make a mistake. You know, and if you think about it, those of you who are parents, you know, we love our kids when they make a mistake, don't we? You know, they might blow it, they might mess up, but humanly speaking, our love for them doesn't stop. And how much more it is with our Heavenly Father, that when we make a mistake, it does not disqualify us. You know, we're not put on the shelf or put outside, but, you know, those mistakes that we inevitably make, they do not disqualify us. In fact, when we make mistakes, it's often an opportunity to learn and to go deeper in his love and to rely more and more on his love. You know, Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for your own sake. I will not remember your sins. You know, even when we sin, even when we make a mistake, he loves us, because his love is eternal. It's everlasting. His love is is perfect. And that's the love that he showers into our hearts, is a perfect and complete love all of the time. It's totally, totally unconditional. It doesn't depend on how we feel or what we do. It's just that he is loving us all the time with a perfect and complete love. And this evening, I just want to encourage us to focus, or to sharpen the focus back on this, that whatever's going on, whatever, you know, sometimes we feel, if we're really honest, sometimes we feel pretty rubbish about ourselves because of what we've done, because of what we said, because of the way we've treated people, because of the attitudes of our heart. And, you know, sometimes that those things cause us to fall back under a blanket of shame or condemnation. And as we bring this back in focus tonight, he wants to lift the blanket of condemnation off you. He wants to lift the blanket of shame off you. And he wants you to run into those open arms. And Father, I just pray for anyone in this room tonight who is feeling under condemnation, or who is feeling under a burden of shame because of anything they've done or anything they've said or anything they've thought. Father, I just ask you to lift that off. Lift that blanket of shame. Lift that blanket of condemnation off, so that their hearts would be free and they would see clearly once again with the eyes of their heart that they are perfectly loved, that you are loving them with an everlasting love, that you are loving them with a perfect and complete love, even when we make a mistake. His love is just so amazing. It's just, you know, the more I look at it, the more I gaze upon it, the more amazed I am that there's this amazing depth of love that we've hardly begin to understand. And he wants to draw us further and further into that love, deeper and deeper. So just let a river of love soak through your heart this evening. He loves you, he loves me, and he will go on loving you. He will go on loving me with the same love and in the same way as he loves his son Jesus. I think that has to be one of the biggest revelations in the Bible. Jesus says at the end of John chapter 17 verse 26, it's just before he's taken away to the cross, and he's praying and he says, Father, I want them to know that they are loved with the same endless love that I'm loved. See, at that point in the prayer, Jesus has just prayed for his disciples, and he starts praying for all of those who will follow on afterwards. That's you and me. He starts praying for us. And he says, Father, I want them to know that they are loved in exactly the same way as I'm loved. That they are loved with the same love as I'm loved. You know, when that sinks into our heart, that we are loved like Jesus is loved, you know, that really does change everything. You know, the reason we're loved in the same way as Jesus is loved is that we are in Christ. You know, so many times through Paul's letters, he uses that little phrase, in Christ. And he says, you know, in Christ we have these blessings, and, you know, we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. And, you know, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And it's a common theme all the way through Paul's letters. And Paul has really got hold of something there, that, you know, he has got hold of the enormity of what it means to be in Christ, to live in Christ. That, you know, when we are baptized and we are baptized into Christ, we are clothed in Christ. It's like the Father puts a robe around us. So when he sees us, he doesn't see our humanity, but he sees his son Jesus in us. And I guess the reality is, for many of us, is we don't feel that You know, we don't feel like we are living in Christ every day of the week. You know, we have the tensions of home life, of finances, of jobs, of the kids, of them paying the mortgage, of, you know, all that sort of stuff. And somehow it's very, very difficult for us to grab hold of that concept that we are clothed in Christ. But when the Father sees us, he sees us in his Son. And he sees us in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. And the word that's used in the Amplified version there is we are given joint seating with Christ. And the way I kind of picture that is like the bench on the side of a sports field where you've got the sort of coach and the other members of the team. And it's like Jesus is sitting there, but we're sitting there right alongside him. You know, we are there with him. And, you know, that's what joint seating is. We are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So when the Father sees us, he doesn't see that all the humanity that we see, but he sees us clothed and wrapped around with his Son Jesus. And when we begin to understand that, it's a little bit easier for us to understand that he loves us in the same way as he loves Jesus, because Jesus was the focus and attention of his love, and the Father was the focus and attention of Jesus's love. But you know, that love is being poured into his Son all of the time. And if we are in Christ, we are recipients or receivers of that same love. And you know, Paul really grasped what that meant to be in Christ, to live in Christ. And I don't know that I've got that fully yet, but the more I understand that, the more I understand that I am clothed in Christ, the more I can begin to receive this amazing love, the same love that is loving Jesus, because it is Jesus is the focus of the Father's love, and we are in that focus of perfect and complete love. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just drink that in. Let's just soak in those words that the Father is loving us in the same way as he loves his Son Jesus. You know, let that soak into your hearts for a few moments. Let that do you good, because there are no second-class citizens in God's family. You know, each one of us is loved in exactly the same way as Jesus is loved. So let's just receive that into our hearts, because that's the truth. And when we know the truth, it sets us free. When we know that we are loved like Jesus is loved, our hearts become free. And so just receive it. Receive it as a gift today. Receive his love being poured into your hearts as a gift from him. Because you've always been the focus of his love. You might not have known it, but you always were. And when we open our hearts to it, when the eyes of our heart are opened and we receive this love, it changes everything for us. His love never fails. We haven't got time to read Psalm 136 this evening, but it's quite a long psalm. But it's like every verse has a refrain which says his love endures forever. And it's just a catalogue of what the Father has done for us and is doing for us. And, you know, it lists a whole load of things. It's not just the things he does for us, but like the things he's doing in the universe. Like he's put the stars in place and the sun in place and the moon in place. His love endures forever. You know, and it's like he's brought Israel and therefore us out of them, out from the midst of our enemies. His love endures forever. You know, and I would just encourage you to read it. It's a very, very uplifting psalm. You know, maybe when the webcast's over or a bit later on today, read Psalm 136, because there's this constant refrain of His love endures forever. And we live in that. We live in His everlasting love, which will never fail. It will never run out. You know, it's not like it's rationed and one day we'll come to the end of it. It's not like that at all. His love is going to be as intense for all of eternity as it has already been for all of eternity, because His love never fails. And just let that be an encouragement to you tonight, that His love never fails. You can never step outside of it. You can never cause it to stop. You can never, it just never gives up. It never runs out. It's a constant, unchanging river of love that flows into your heart and into my heart. I find that very encouraging. The main thing, focusing on the main thing, He really is a father to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, I will be a father to you. You know, and I believe that's the promise. We've already read Jeremiah 3:19, where Jeremiah speaks the words of God the Father and says, I thought you would call me Father. I thought you would call me Father because that's who I am. And that verse in Jeremiah to me is really the desire and the longing of the Father's heart. And this verse here in 2 Corinthians 6:18 is the promise that satisfies that desire. That God says to us, I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters. You know, He is a father to you. He is being a father to you. He will father you. You know, He is loving you right now. Him being a father will never change or never stop, because He is the eternal Father. And, you know, I think we can lose sight of that sometimes. And this evening, I just encourage us to focus back on this, to make the main thing the main thing, that He is your Father. He will father you. He is being a father to you right now. You know, it's so easy for us to forget that. It's so easy for us to slide out of it. But the truth and the reality is that He is always our Father, and He is being a Father to us right now. And I love this little verse, John 16, verse 27. The Father Himself loves you. You know, one of the things I often talk about on the A schools is there's a little bit of difference between two verses. There's a verse in John chapter 14 where Jesus says to His disciples, if you ask me anything, He says, I will ask the Father on your behalf and it will be done. And then in John chapter 16, Jesus says something that seems to be very contradictory. He says, you will no longer need to ask me, but you will be able to go directly to the Father. And then it says, because of your relationship with me, because we are in Christ, we can go directly to the Father. And there's this little contradiction, but it's not really a contradiction. To me, it's like a before and after photograph. You know, the before photograph is Jesus saying, ask me and I will do it. And the after photograph is Jesus saying, no. Don't ask me, go and ask the Father directly. And the difference is because in between that, just after Jesus has said, come and ask me, just after that in John 14, He says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. See, the difference is our orphan-heartedness being stripped away from us and us coming into a revelation of sonship, where we realize we're no longer slaves, we're no longer orphans. We are sons and daughters, and that gives us direct access to the Father. And the reason we have direct access to the Father is because the Father himself loves us. The Father himself loves you. And we have this amazing access to come as children to our Heavenly Father. You know, and if you think about it, of course, children always have that have access to the Father. Children always have that ability to come to their dad, you know. And I remember times when I was busy or maybe had a meeting or people in the house, but our kids always knew they could come to me. And, you know, we can do that. God's never too busy for us. He never turns us away. But, you know, he's always ready to receive us simply because we are his children and he is loving us right now. And so these things have just been a little reminder of the main thing and making the main thing the main thing. And hopefully this evening's just been an opportunity for us to focus again or sharpen our focus on these important things. Because God has always been your Father. He loves it when you call him Father. He is loving you with an everlasting love, which will never let you go, nor will it let you down. He is always kind and patient. He loves you even when you make a mistake. He loves you and will go on loving you with the same love and in the same way as he loves his son Jesus. His love never fails. He really is a father to you, and he is loving you right now. Why don't we just put our hands on our hearts and let's drink in more of this love. Let's just take a few moments to receive what he wants to pour into our hearts.